Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. This is your weekly wellness radio. I'm Maria Wyatt, your host, and my co-host is Scott Dudley. And if you missed previous, you want to hear, check out our other podcasts, you can always access them at kxoradio.com.
There you go. Hi. Welcome aboard. May is Mental Health Month. And
are we still in May?
Maybe. No. Yeah, we're still in May. And you know, this is going to be a fun show. And we're going to jump right in because it's a list of 13 very cool things, which if you do the math, gives you about 4 minutes per. But just kind of parenthetically, you know, one of the things we really struggled to do here in May is Mental Health Awareness Month is we spent a couple shows really pointing out some areas of mental illness awareness, if you will, areas where people with mental illness really struggled in terms of you know, getting sucked into the criminal justice system or not having the resources really even to begin to recover. And today we've got a kind of change of pace. So we're joined today by Amy Morin. She's a licensed clinical social worker coming to us live and direct from Maine. We're playing Kitty Corner USA because we are at the opposite bottom corner of the United States. And we are going to talk about the 13 things that mentally strong people don't do. So rather than kind of focusing on mental illness per se, we're going to focus on supporting mental health. Is that fair, Amy?
Yes, it is. I think that's fair. People ask me sometimes if, you know, can you still be mentally strong if you have depression or anxiety? My answer to that is yes, because just like if you had maybe diabetes, you can still be physically strong. If you have a mental health issue, you can still be mentally strong.
Probably even more important in some respects.
Absolutely.
Good. So we should just jump right in. I mean, how else do you do this other than start at number one, right?
Yeah, well, you know, usually people want to know why do you write a list of what not to do.
It is a backwards list. Tell us about that.
Right, and so I'm happy to explain that, you know, again, if we were to talk about mental strength in comparison to physical strength, if you wanted to be physically strong, you have to have good habits like going to the gym to work out, but you also have to get rid of bad habits like eating too much junk food. And so if you want to be mentally strong, you need good habits in life, but you also have to get rid of those bad habits that can outweigh your good habits.
So this is a list of things that pretty much suck your energy away or distract you or you lose focus or discouraging probably in some ways, right?
Yeah, it's all the thoughts, feelings, and behaviors that we're all prone to doing sometimes, but that when you do them, they'll hold you back from being as strong as you could be.
So hopefully everybody at home has their pencils and pens and pads ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. And we'll make sure and cover these as we go. All right, Amy?
All right.
Okay. Number one.
The first one is that mentally strong people don't waste time feeling sorry for themselves. And, you know, every minute that we spend feeling sorry for ourselves takes away from something we could be doing more productive. And it's different. Feeling sorry for yourself is different than just feeling sad or being upset. It goes beyond that. And it's really when we start to exaggerate our misfortune or you start thinking things like, you know, I shouldn't have to deal with this or nobody else is suffering like I am. When you start to think that way, it just keeps you stuck and focused on the problem and it keeps you from creating a solution or taking steps to make your life better. Even when you can't solve the problem, you're going through hard times in life, you can always take steps to at least improve the situation in some way, shape, or form. But self-pity keeps us, you know, from getting out and doing those things. It makes you stay home and sit on the couch rather than going out there and doing things and trying to create the best life for yourself that you could be.
I'm betting for all of these that there's some sort of buy-in or they wouldn't be on the list because they wouldn't be popular. You know, what's the buy-in for feeling sorry for yourself? Why is that attractive? Why does that help?
There's some people that, like, you know, they want to feel sorry for themselves and have other people pity them. You know, just feel, you know, here I am, you know, this is woe with me, and, oh, I'm so sorry about that, and I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes I think it sort of becomes this act of defiance, like, you know, I shouldn't have to do anything to improve my life because this isn't fair. And we have this feeling of, you know, if my life were better, then I'd be able to go out and do great things. But it sort of becomes an excuse of, well, I've had all these problems, so I shouldn't be expected to perform to the same level as everybody else.
And I don't even have to try. Oh, how nice is that?
Exactly.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It. Heard each Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on KXO AM 1230 radio and Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. on FM 107.5. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.